There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Good Friday. And it is it's a tough Good Friday in our battle against coronavirus, but there is the hope eternal with Good Friday and this Easter weekend ahead, even though it's going to be so very, very different. From Easter egg hunts to family coming over, can't do that, to going to church, can't do that. We're all having to adjust to so many things, but I think it's going to be a weekend like this one that has so many traditions associated with it that will really stand out as we look at the changes we're making in our life right now in the fight against the coronavirus. And it's going to be one that hopefully is something that's just a footnote in our history. We look back and go, oh, remember that Easter when we couldn't go to church? Remember that Easter when we couldn't have the whole family over for Easter dinner? Remember that? And hopefully that's something that is put back in the history book, something we just think about, in the rear view. Look at the rear view. All right, coming up on today's show, a bunch of different things and interviews I've been wanting to do and people I've wanted to talk to. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Lee Irvin is going to join us. And if you remember, it was a couple days ago on the morning show that we received a phone call about and I'm going to butcher the name again. I don't have it in front of me. Hydrochloroquine. I'll just call it chloroquine, Dalton, because I mess it up. So the chloroquine and the Z-Pak and this combination of medicines that has been shown in some places, in some trials. I'm not a scientist, but some trials just shown to have some efficacy against the coronavirus. And then we had a call from this doctor who said, yeah, and actually a physician like himself, he's taking it in a prophylactic way. In other words, to oversimplify it for my mind, basically like you take your vitamins to keep from getting other issues, you would take this for people that are on the front lines. He's done a lot of study in this combination of the Z-Pak and the the chloroquine Z-Pak combination. And he's going to join us. And so if you have questions about it, this is going to be your chance starting at 1 o'clock today. Also joining us later this hour, AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne. We'll talk with him and get some more info on what votes might be taken, what might happen here on another maybe $250 billion in money for the small business loans out there as we watch so many banks saying that, hey, we've been crushed with people asking for these loans. I know we've had a lot of questions here and been talking about it on the show, and we'll talk about what might happen in Washington, and can the Republicans overcome the block from the Democrats and move this money out? So we'll get into that conversation later this hour. Another man I haven't talked to in too long, and I'm interested in talking with him. Of course, he is also a candidate for AL1, and that primary we discussed this morning with Secretary of State John Merrill coming up July 14th. It's Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl joining us now. Thanks for your time.
Hey, Sean, great to be on. Thank you.
Hey, yeah, thank you as well, and happy Easter to you and the family. It's going to be a different kind of thing this year, but we'll figure it out.
We're trying to figure out how to hide Easter eggs with our grandchildren. Our granddaughter's broke a bone in her hand, so we're going to do a drive-by tonight just to sign the cast. You know, it's a strange world we're living in right now.
Yeah, it's tough having to be away from family and not being able to be close to folks.
Right.
I want to talk about that with you, too. A couple things now on the county front, and there's so much that I've been talking about as of late, has been on the state level for regulations and shelter in place or stay home order. And then on the city level, I talked to Mobile Mayor Mayor Stimson this morning about the city curfew. What, if any, rules or regulations have you changed, or have y'all changed at the county level to deal with coronavirus? What are y'all doing?
Well, obviously, the state's recommendation that came down, we're enforcing that, which is encouraging everyone to stay at home. Your social distancing, your lack of shopping, everything we can do to really cut back exposure, you know, to other people. We, the county, have not discussed, and I don't think you will see us discuss, a curfew itself. Although the curfews are working in the city, you still have to take in consideration, we still have a workforce out there that has to get to work, the essential jobs. There's some things that apply. So I don't think the county, I mean, I live on Airport Boulevard, and I promise you at 10 o'clock you can't find a car. It is the strangest thing I've ever seen. So people are abiding to this, and we're excited about that. I don't think the county at this point needs to do anything.
Okay. So what about the staff, county employees? Are you just with, I know the sheriff's department, you'd say part of that, but what's your policy right now with the people that work for the county?
Well, we certainly have limited the public from coming into buildings. I mean, you have to make an appointment if you come downtown, for example. And if you come to see me, I have to physically come down and get you and bring you up. So we've just stopped that human flow from coming in and out. We are still running the county itself under the county commission is still running pretty much as normal as you can expect in these times. Now, the other elected officials, they have their rights to do things the way they want to do it. I know the license commission and the revenue commission, they are set up where a lot of theirs can be done from home. So much of theirs is key entry. So they're doing from home. So much of ours, when you talk about engineering and road maintenance, stuff like that, we have to be on site. So we've been very cautious about who they come in contact with. But at the same time, you still need your government performing their normal task.
Yes.
We don't need to shut everything down. We need to see our government officials out and working and being part of the answer.
Well, okay. So let's talk about another part of this, and that is trying to help small business through this, and trying to help business in general through this. And it was a story that I was talking about with the Attorney General, Steve Marshall, coming down and rendering an opinion last week, saying that, and correct me if I get terms wrong here, but economic incentive money couldn't be used. Is that the right term? Couldn't be used to transfer to businesses trying to get through this? I mean,
correct.
Okay, so that's the money.
And we always run a fine line. That's why the industrial board was set up years ago. So we actually give money to the industrial board, which passes the money on industrial projects. When we do it like a Walmart or Amazon or some of these groups that we encourage to come in. So that is how we have gotten around it historically. What we wanted to do on this one was actually give an amount of money to the Chamber of Commerce and allow the Chamber of Commerce to dole that out to the businesses that they felt like needed it. And it would be a flat rate per business. It wouldn't be how much do you actually need and it wouldn't be an ask. I personally wasn't real happy with that particular plan, but I certainly would have supported it. I was in more favor of trying to get money directly to the people that were being laid off. I was looking more to helping the employees themselves. I tried to set up a plan where we could pick up their power bill, their utility bills, because once we do come out of this, whether it's a month or 3 months, you're still going to have several months of utility bills staring you in the face to get caught up on. So mine was more trying to help the end user, which I consider that to be, you know, the taxpayers themselves. But needless to say, the business owners and all of them need help. And so we were all kind of working in different directions. But we really got shut down with that AG's opinion that came through actually day before yesterday, Wednesday. And we just got shut down, and AG's opinion says it cannot be done. Auburn had a real neat one, I thought, was small businesses could take out loans through the local banks, and Auburn, the city of Auburn was going to pick up their interest on the loans up to 3 years, which I found that one to be extremely interesting. But it, everything got shot down with that opinion from Attorney General Steve Marshall.
Now, with that, I mean, you're talking about additional ideas to help out there. And is it because you think the SBA loans or the one-time loans won't be enough, or are they not moving quickly enough for y'all? What's the reason?
It has everything to do with speed. We deal with the federal government every day in some aspect, and I promise you, it gets very, very slow. They may have great intentions, but it never works out that way because there's so many bureaucrats between the money when it leaves Washington and the day that it hits your bank. A good example, the mayor of Tuscaloosa was on a conference call, and he thanked the legislators for helping them during the tornadoes, but they just received the last check, and that was 8 years later.
Wow. So, because I was about to transition into same question I asked Mayor Stimson this morning, is this $1.9 billion, with a B, that could be coming to the state, right, from the feds.
Right.
But that's got to go through Montgomery. What kind of hopes do you have that you see anything at a county level?
Well, I hope we do. I'm not going to hold out very long and spend a lot of time looking at that. When it happens, it happens. I don't look for it to get here quick enough. And that was the whole focus of all three of us commissioners trying to look in different directions and figure out how we could help the community best with what we have. Now, the county itself and the city itself is really going to feel the blunt from this come next December and January. It's really going to start stumbling when we start talking about it. It'll catch up. So there'll have to be some alterations done then. It's a real challenge right now just to keep a workforce out working.
Yes.
Some people it doesn't seem to bother a lot. They feel like they should be compensated more to be out there. I don't argue that. But at some point, place, time, we have to be realistic. We can't just pay people to do stuff that we can put off and postpone.
Well, I mean, a lot of these questions about, this municipality, or this other county somewhere else pays hazard pay, this one doesn't. I mean, you're seeing people say, well, if they're doing it, why doesn't this county do it, or why doesn't this city do it?
Well, I was proud of the county commission the way we jumped out there. We knew our frontline first responders, which would be our sheriff's department, were going to be the ones that we had to keep active. We had to keep them on the front line. We had to show them that we were taking care of them. So we came out with time and a half pay for them. We missed it a little bit. There's some people inside the jail that we should have included in that, and that was brought up in the conversation. But our attitude was, is let's get this battleship moving, and then we'll worry about turning it one direction or the other once it gets moving. Because there's some people on the front line inside the jails, too. If you don't have them, the bad folks don't get locked up and stay locked up. So we missed it a little bit, and you'll see us making some changes. We had a proposal come before us yesterday about cutting that time and a half down to 1.1. I was the only one against it. I think from a morale standpoint, we're really shooting ourselves in the foot by doing that. But, majority rules. So you've got to just, move with it.
So you did not vote for cutting it back?
No, not at all. Not at all. I think these deputies, we've got to keep them happy. The only way we have to motivate them to stay out there is paying them. And that's the direction that we took. This day and age, it's hard to get anyone that wants to go into law enforcement. So when you do get one, you really need to take care of them.
Hey, can you hang on a second? We're going to run
sure.
the news break
sure.
here. Coming right back, more with Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl, also a man running in the runoff that, as we heard from the Secretary of State, is going to stay at July 14th. He's running for the AL1 Republican primary runoff. And we want to talk a little bit about that, too, because there's this new angle here for the absentee voting. That, by the way, if you didn't catch it this morning, go back and catch the podcast of our conversation with Secretary of State. But you got till, make sure I get this right, July 9th, I think. Yeah, July 9th to get the absentee forms in. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Talking with Mobile County Commissioner and Commission President. And also, let's talk about campaign right now. As you're in this runoff for the Republican primary for AL1, are y'all, is the campaign still going on? And if it's still going on right now, how does it go on with all the stuff that's happening right now?
Well, the only thing we can do right now is our Facebook stuff. We try to keep our base of people out there that are our base of supporters. We try to keep them active, try to actually find things for them to do and keep them involved. Everyone does have a lot of free time on their hands at home. We have got a pretty intense phone program going right now. We're calling people and just chit-chatting with them. You know, we want to find out how they feel about politics. You know, and believe it or not, most everybody's very receptive. They're glad to have somebody to talk to different. So, but we're just doing the best we can do as far as TV, radio, and I know you've seen from your numbers, everyone's just flat. I mean, there's really nothing you can do.
Yeah. Our growth has been interesting, with us just cause the shows we're doing, the way people are interacting with us. But yeah, I think, somebody will send me a text from time to time and say, y'all going to talk about anything other than COVID-19? And I got to tell them honestly, I don't think so. I have a ton of stories that somehow hinge off it, different things, but it's kind of where people's minds are, obviously.
And politics are the same way. People are really not very focused. I think I really see light at the end of the tunnel.
Like timeline or some kind of big turnaround or cases?
It's hard to put a timeline, but I will, just for the sake of conversation.
Okay.
I think around May 1st, we're going to see a huge change in people's attitude. Americans, we're used to jumping in our car and going anywhere we want to. We're used to the freedom of moving around. And you take people in America and you basically lock them in their homes for days on days on days. And we really become very restless. We start seeing the numbers flatline in New York. We've seen Washington. We've seen California. Start watching Mobile and Alabama's numbers. It's the new cases is what you want to look at. I know the deaths are very important, and any death is horrible. But focus on the new cases, because the new cases are going to tell us what we want to know. Have we flatlined? Now, we're behind the other states because we just have gotten set up between the mayor and his staff with the county. I've been working with them, the health department. All of us have been working very diligent. So our numbers should start increasing. We're going to start diagnosing these cases because now we have the means to do it. But I'm a firm believer this has been here for much longer than we think. People have had long histories of colds in December and January. I think it was here. I really do. We have a lot of international travel in and out of Mobile, so we certainly could possibly be a hot spot for that. But with that said, I see the flat line in these places. Most of the news, and this is one thing that Congressman Burns told me, I had a good conversation with him. He said, Jerry, quit focusing on the national news, because the national news are all out of New York and New Jersey. New York and New Jersey, they are in bad, bad shape with this. We are not in as bad a shape as they are. Don't try to put ourselves in the position of being in New York and New Jersey. We are Alabama. We don't have the problems that they're having in New Jersey.
I get it. The problem is I'm such a homer that I care about them because I care about my nation, but I care about us first. Like every case, and this week, it's as I sit here at our console in the studio and I hit the ADPH button, you know, on their dashboard and refresh it yesterday, it was just every time I refreshed it, the number of new cases coming up and coming up. And I realize a lot of that's about testing, but it's more cases that we've identified.
But if we had 35 cases tested yesterday and we have 34 cases today and we have 34 cases tomorrow and then Monday we have 32, that cycle has started back down.
True.
That's what we're looking for. We're looking for those new cases that are beginning to either flatline or drop off, because that will determine who's sick and who's going in the hospital. Our hospital rate's extremely low.
Yep.
Compared to why? I think it's because we've got so much fresh air in open conditions down here. And that fresh air and that sunshine will kill most viruses. And I believe it has a lot to do with us being healthier.
So you don't think, and we just have 1 minute left here, but you don't think it has something to do with the fact that we haven't had the number of tests to reveal something more?
There's no doubt about that. 80% of the people that had it don't even know they had it. I mean, if you figure that in, you're going to have a very, very low percentage rate. And I know you've lost a very close friend. I don't mean to make light of that. But you're going to see a very, very low percentage of death from this. Influenza is going to be 2+%. This is going to be less than 1%.
You know what? I hope you're right on that for sure. I hope you're right.
Well, it doesn't make that loss any better, but I'm just saying, you know, at some point, place and time, we Americans got to say enough's enough. Let's get back to normal. Let's go back to work. Let's do what we do.
I think we can balance that seesaw out there, and hopefully it'll come sooner than later. Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl, thank you for your time, and
thank you.
We'll talk
and
again.
And again, I'm so sorry for your loss.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Coming right back, we will be joined by AL1's Congressman Bradley Burns, going to join us. A lot to talk about with the response from Washington. One of the questions I have is the debate going on now for another $250 billion into this PPP program, which, by the way, I got a text from somebody here. Milton said he got his first check this week. I'll talk about that when we get back as well. Bradley Burns next.